Tom, if you come and preach God's word to us this morning, thank you so much for being here with us. God bless you.
Well, good morning, church. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 7. Before we get started, we just want to real quick hopefully figure out what God is trying to accomplish here in this passage. You might think it's kind of odd that we're going to read from 2 Chronicles on a Sunday morning, but I believe there's something in this passage that God has for us today, something that's really important, something that we can take home and really apply in our life. So basically what we learn from this passage, hopefully we're going to find out by the end of our time this morning, is that God's plan of salvation for humanity begins by God choosing a nation for himself. Isaiah 49 verse 6, the Bible says, "And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." So why does God do this? Why does God choose a nation? Why does he choose a nation for himself? Ultimately, it's to share his beauty to the world. It's to share who he is, his beauty, to the nations. And we obviously see this, the best picture of this is who? Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that is the best picture. But before Jesus, how did God do this? How did he get his beauty to the nations? Well, if you might remember, he did this through prophets, through priests, and through who? Kings, right? But kings, were they usually the best people? Not so much, right? Oftentimes, kings, they were not the best. They were actually the ones who were known to mess up in the biggest ways, right? So some people, they think that the Bible is just a book of morality. They think that over time, humankind, we evolve into better human beings. If you think about about the Bible, when you come across a passage like 2 Chronicles, it's not going to make a whole lot of sense to you, right? So if the Bible is not a book of morality, telling us how to become better humans, telling us how to evolve over time, what is the Bible about? Well, basically, the Bible is essentially a message. And that message is God telling us something. God is telling us that, let me be your Savior. Let me save you. Let me be your King. That is essentially the message of the Bible. Let me be your Savior. God is saying that to us. Now, according to this story, after King David, it basically went downhill for kings, right? It did not go well for them, to say the least. So, but what's interesting about this passage is that King Asa, as we're going to read about him here in the story, he was actually the one bright spot up until this point. Remember, kings, they were the ones who messed up in some really big ways. But up to this point, he was the one bright spot for God's people. So real quick, let's just give a quick background on King Asa in case we don't remember. King Asa, he was the one who led Judah against the Ethiopian army. And if you remember, that was actually a really big deal at the time. Here in 2020, in this context, it might not make a lot of sense to us, but you have to put yourself into the time of the Bible, put yourself in their shoes. This was a big deal that God led Asa. This is a big deal that he allowed him to do this. And so at that time, they understood that he was doing something incredible. He was a great leader at this time. Next, if you remember, he was also used to convince Israel of their need to repent and return back to worshiping the one true God. Some commentators say that this was kind of like a revival that happened at this time. This is also a really, really, really big deal. So we can say this. We can sum all of what Asa did, and we can say that most of his life was amazing. He led in some amazing ways. He did a lot of incredible things. But unfortunately, it didn't last. Why? Why didn't it last? It's because he couldn't see his need for God anymore. As we're going to find out, he started trusting in himself rather than God. Now, on the surface, nothing really changed at first, right? He still kept leading, still kept serving. But as we're going to find out, his heart started drifting away from God. And this is really dangerous, because this tells us just because we're serving, just because we're doing good things in the church, doesn't mean that we are right with God. So we need to understand, just because the outside looks good, doesn't mean that the inside is good. And we see this firsthand in Asa's life. So this is how he started drifting away from God. If you remember this passage, basically what happened was a king came against Judah, was threatening Judah to cut off all of their supplies. Of course, this made Asa upset. This really frightened him. He was scared about this. So rather than seeking God's help, rather than trusting in God's sovereignty, he decided to make a deal with that king, decided to pay him money for his help. You might think to yourself, well, that doesn't seem so bad. Well, the bad thing about this, as we're going to find out, is that he was not trusting in God. He was trusting in his own works. He was trusting in his own ingenuity. So, to the watching world, it makes it look like what Asa did was a success. Because you know the craziest thing about this plan? The craziest thing about this plan is that it worked. And that's actually the worst thing that could have happened. Because you know what that told Asa? That told Asa, you know what? I don't need God's help. I decided to do this. I thought of this in my own strength and my own wit. And it worked. So he started thinking to himself, wow, I know what I am doing. I'm actually a pretty big deal. I know what to do. And of course, us looking back at this, we know that this is not good news, right? We know because he did not trust God, this is the worst thing that he could have done. That means just because it worked doesn't mean that it was right. And that's a good lesson for us today, right? Just because something works doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. And we wish that Asa would have known that. But what does God think about Asa's decision? What did God think about this? We understand that God did not see it the same way. Because God says, actually, because he trusted in himself rather than God, God says that actually, you know what Asa did? He gave the kingdom away. Because Asa trusted in himself more than God. But what's interesting and amazing about our God is that in God's graciousness, in his kindness, he even sends him a prophet to allow him to repent. So essentially, even though Asa messed up, he sinned against God, God was kind and gracious at this time. He decided to give him a second chance. But unfortunately, as you might remember, Asa rejected that once again. So as a result of Asa's rebellion, I believe we are given some insight into the heart of God. Now this brings us to our passage. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 7. We're just going to read verses 7 through 9. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. So let's get started with our first point that we see here this morning. Number one, God is looking for blameless hearts. Let's read that phrase in verse 9 one more time. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is what towards him? Is perfect towards him. I don't know about you, church, but when I first read this verse, this made me a little nervous, right? Because essentially what this verse is saying is God is willing to give his strong support to those of us whose heart is perfect towards him. Church, when you read this verse, how many of us would raise our hand and say, yep, that's me. I automatically think of myself when I think of a perfect heart. Is that us? Do we think of that? No. So really what we need to find out, what does God mean by this phrase, perfect heart? Heart is perfect towards him. Well, if your understanding of this is perfection, then we're all going to be disappointed because none of us have a perfect heart, right? So what does this phrase mean? Well, it doesn't mean perfect. does not mean sinless in the sense that we think of sinless. Another translation for this word is whole or completely His. So let's read it with that understanding. God is willing to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is whole. It's all His, right? It means we have all in hearts. Towards who? Towards God. So this is important because Jesus did not come to earth to save people who had potential or to save people who had it all together, right? Who did Jesus come to save? He came to save those of us who needed Him, who were lost, who would not be able to get to Him on our own, right? Remember, He looks to those who left their nets and followed Him. Jesus came to those who came to Him for healing and to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Does this sound like people who have it all together? Does this sound like people who are perfect? No, that's not who Jesus came to save. He came to save the worst of us, those of us who need His grace. By the way, that's all of us, every single one of us. So the question is not, do I have sin? Now, the question is, do I have God? So here in this passage, I believe God is looking for all in hearts. Now, this brings us to the next question. You say, brother, that's great. That's wonderful. But what if my heart isn't all in towards Him? What hope is there for me? What if my heart is not perfect towards God? What if my heart is not all in? What hope is there for me? Well, if you ask the world, what would the world tell you? The world would tell you you're in trouble. Because what are we supposed to do with our hearts, according to the world? What do they tell us? We're supposed to follow our hearts, right? Does this sound like a good idea? No. If you know anything about the Bible, you know that's a terrible idea, right? Because the Bible is clear. We're not supposed to follow our hearts. What are we supposed to do to our hearts? We're supposed to lead our hearts, right? So, what hope is there for us? Psalm 51, verse 10. The Bible says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Church, the act of bringing our hearts to God and asking Him to cleanse us, I believe that is what it means to be all in. Say, brother, I'm not all in. What can I do? Psalm 51, verse 10 is a really good starting place because this is King David. This is after he messed up in a really big way. How did he respond to God? How did he call out to God? "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Church, just for a moment, just in our minds right now, let's pray that prayer. Let's just pray it right now. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." This is the starting place. If your heart is far away from God this morning, if you're a child of God, this is where we start. We say, "God, my heart's not all in, but I want it to be. I want you to create a new heart within me, God." So that is where we start. Now, let's go to our second point before our time is up. Number two, God is willing to give His strong support. Look at verse 9 one more time. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him." So, this is good because do you know what this verse is telling us? This verse is telling us God is willing to help us. God is willing to give us His strong, not just His support. The Bible says His strong support. How many of us needs God's strong support this morning? I do. I think we all do, right? How do we get it? And some of you might even ask the question, how are we even able to live in an evil world? If you turn on the news for 2 minutes, it seems like the world is just on fire. It seems like we're going to all just be raptured pretty soon, right? It seems kind of crazy. So you might say, is it even possible to live in this evil world today? Well, the answer to that question is, I believe it is possible because God is never withholding His strength from us. He is willing to help us. He is willing to save us. Let's remember that although the world seems like it's on fire right now, God is not done with us yet. He lives. God lives for this moment. God lives to display His glory to the nations, especially in a time like today. So this means that Christians should actually be the most hopeful and joyful people in the world because of verses like this. Because God is willing to give us His strong support. To who? To those of us whose heart is perfect toward Him. So in closing, Number one, remember, God is looking for perfect, or in other words, blameless hearts, all in hearts. How does this happen? Only Jesus can cleanse our hearts. If we are empty and needy, then we are a perfect match for His grace. God can't help people who have it all together. God can't help people who are already perfect. He can only help those of us who need Him. And if we're honest, we all need His grace. Number two, let's never forget that we are not in this battle alone. It's going to seem scary, especially in the next couple of weeks when it seems like things are uncertain and we don't know what to do. But remember, we are not alone in this battle. Our God is with us. God says, I am willing to give you my strong support. There's only one prerequisite. Our hearts are supposed to be what? Perfect, blameless, whole. In other words, completely His. So church, this morning, let's decide to give our hearts to our God. Let's decide to pray that prayer just like King David. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cleanse within me a new spirit.